You know, in Acts chapter 1, we read the words from 12 to 15. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These were all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. At this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons were there. Now, the upper room that Jesus had told them to go and to wait for the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit, about 120 of them gathered. And let me say that there's probably close to that here today if you count children. So look out, because the wind is going to start blowing in here and the fire is going to fall down and the building's going to shake. And the ones in the balcony will go first and fall to the ground. You know, they're gathering here together, but there's a little phrase there that I need us to capture and get a hold of today. And it's that phrase that's found in verse 14 when it says this: these all with one mind. With one mind. What a great testimony of the early church. And what I believe is God is calling people in the church to more and more again and again. You know, our world, would you agree with me that our world has become individual and private and personal rights? And it's we're sort of segmented. We don't go knock on anybody's door unannounced or uninvited or without calling ahead. It just doesn't normal today. But you know, when people got together in the early church, it was normal. It was normal to gather every day. They would get together. Folks, every day. Think about your life right now. Think about this for a moment. They were in church every day, or they were in somebody's house every day having church. How many of you on your schedules have that kind of time? Our world's a little different, isn't it, today? But it was something that was built within them. They had a passion for Jesus, a passion for his people. And they had this hunger and desire to be together, to learn, to grow, to understand the truths of the gospel. And yet the Bible tells us that even though they were together every day gathering, people were coming to faith, being saved continually. How can this be? It wasn't that these people were coming into the temple or coming into these homes. It's that the people that were gathering every day went out into the world and influenced people's lives so that people came to know Jesus. That's the gospel. It affects me so much within me, every fabric of my life, that it reaches out from within me, the Spirit of God from within me, and touches people. But I think there is a call of God that we would come together as a people, that we would be of one mind when it comes to our faith. That word in the Greek, here's a good one, homothumadon. It's close. You know, it's a compound of two words. Really, it means this: rush along in unison. Rush along in unison. If you break it down a little further, it really is telling us that there's a simultaneity to our faith as a body, that we're doing it together. We're simultaneously doing this work of the gospel and the kingdom of God together. We have the same mind towards it. And when we come together and we gather, there's an agreement there because we are unanimous in our agreement that God will be lifted up and that we will encourage and strengthen and bless each other. We're here for a purpose. And the last thing on the list is us. There's an agreement that we come together to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. And we've come together in unison to be strengthened in our lives so we can go out with the gospel message that Jesus Christ loves a world. And there's a close communion of believers in that word. But you know, the key is that they were praying together, continually devoting themselves to prayer. If there was ever a day in the church's history where the people of God need to gather together to seek the Lord and to pray, it's today. We need it. We need God. You know, and I understand our lives and the complexities and the things that we've got going. I understand it all. But there has got to be a coming together again of people of God to seek Him together, to pray, to ask God to reach out into this city and touch people's lives in a way we have never seen in our own lives in this day and age. You know, that word, that long word, is used 12 times in the New Testament. Do you know that 11 of them are in the book of Acts? The early church, and every time those words were used, it was significant because it meant that the church was healthy, that the church was alive, that the church was in a right standing before God, and God was active in their lives and using them. I want to be that type of church. I'm not just here amongst us, but God's church is worldwide. There are denominations upon denominations, and we got our own way of thinking, and we've divided ourselves. And the church needs to come together and seek God like never before. What's the opposite? Division? Doing it ourselves, our own way? Stay in my private little bubble and world? You know, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy. It's all there. It's all the opposite. But God wants us to love one another. God wants us to be kind towards one another. God wants us to be generous towards one another. God wants us to respect one another, to honor each other, to bless each other, to serve each other, to commit ourselves to each other, to really speak into the lives of each other so that we grow and we become like Him together. You know, one of the things that, this is a real extreme thing, I know, but in Proverbs 6, this passage has always brought a little bit of fear and awe to me. But listen to this, because this is what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, supposedly as God spoke, the wisest person on the earth other than Jesus. And he said this, there are six things which the Lord hates. Think about that for a moment. There are six things that the Lord hates. Wait a minute. Yes, seven. Which are an abomination to Him. I don't need to explain those words, do I? God hates these things. They're abomination to Him. Think about these seven things. A haughty or a proud, pride eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And here's the big one, the seventh one, the one that was added on. And one who spreads strife or discord among brothers. I think we need to tread lightly amongst each other, to be careful, because God doesn't like this stuff. And I say that because I want us to learn to get away from the negative side of it all, the unforgiveness and all that stuff that would cause stuff to be, God's body to be divided. God is one body, and we're it. What does the Bible say that we are? We're the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And God said, we're the church. The bride, the body, we're one body, and God is building His church. and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if we can commit ourselves to having one mind, one heart, one spirit, one body-mindedness towards each other, that we understand that God is not calling us individually to run our own race. He's calling us to run it together. And that we would support each other and strengthen each other and call each other to the race. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. 1 Corinthians 10:17, since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Ephesians 4, there's one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. You see, there is one Christ. There's one faith. There's one heaven we're hoping for. Therefore, we should be of one heart. Jesus is one. The Father and Him were one. And He said, let you be one with me, just as my Father and I are one. And if we'll come together, I believe that the power of God and the Spirit of God will move upon our lives in this city like never before. But if we try to do it ourselves and stay fragmented, it just doesn't seem to work. Love the early church. They had their problems. You know, they really did. But yet they had one heart towards God. And they got together in unison. I'm going to burst our bubbles today. We got problems. We're not perfect. God didn't call us to be perfect in that sense. He called us to be perfect in realizing that we could rub shoulders together and forgive each other. And we could walk together and with one purpose, keep Christ at the center of our heart and our attention. I'd love for us to call a prayer concert and everybody show up. Is that a pipe dream? I'm not trying to spread guilt here. I'm just telling it like it is. If we come together and we seek God together with one heart and one voice, one mind, God listens. God seems to do stuff. I don't get it, but it's how it works. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. And though God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired, but now there are many members, but one body. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Every one of us, we're a member. We belong to it. We're maybe not card-carrying members, but in our heart we are. Let me read that first phrase to you again. These all with one mind. Basically, that means the same mind, the same will, same desire, same longing. With one mind, we're continually devoting themselves to prayer. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. God, thank you so much for your church and for every member that's a part of your church. And God, I pray that in the season of this life and ahead of us, that we would be called to be even more so gathered together. Not just physically, God, but even in when we're apart, that we would still recognize we're a part of something bigger. And God, what I do outside of this building for the kingdom of God does matter to every other member that's here in this room. And I pray you would give us one mind, God. One heart. One voice, God. Just one spirit. That we truly would love each other. God, help us to forget the past, what we have or haven't been, and help us to press on to what's ahead, that we truly would be one body. I thank you, God, and I bless your church. I bless these people. God, I pray that this coming week, that they will experience a most incredibly blessed week. God, they'll just experience your presence and know you're with them in everything they do. And God, that you will provide for everything in their life they need. Thank you, God, that we are a body. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.